The people of Afghanistan have been marking Independence Day today, 102 years after securing freedom from British rule, and 4 days after the Taliban seized control of the country. Britain, the United States and other Western powers have continued evacuating their citizens from Kabul. This morning the Department of Foreign Affairs here said 3 Irish people have so far been evacuated, including Meath teacher Aoife McManus, but that 36 more remain to be got out, a small number of whom are at the airport. According to the department, the situation remains fluid and access to the airport remains difficult. As we'll hear shortly, it's reported that Afghan citizens trying to leave are being turned back at Taliban checkpoints. This morning, the EU foreign policy chief, Joseph Borrell, told a European Parliament committee that there is a moral duty to get Afghans who worked for the EU out of the country.
This is a catastrophe. This is a catastrophe for the Afghan people, for the Western values and credibility, and for the developing of international relations. Was it foreseeable? Was it preventable? In any case, it's a nightmare because, you know, even if tonight the first 106 members of our staff of the European Union delegation has landed in Madrid, we cannot take all Afghan people out of the country.
Earlier, I spoke to Kim Sengupta, defence and diplomatic editor with the Independent newspaper based in Kabul. I asked him what the situation was like in the city today.
The streets are a bit busier than they have been for the last few days. You know, there are a few more cars, a lot more people, but interestingly, not that many women seen publicly. Most of the shops are still shut. And importantly, worryingly, the banks are shut as well, and the ATMs are empty, which is obviously causing problems for the population. The Taliban are in the process of working out who will be wielding the levers of power. There are all kinds of meetings going on. The head of the Haqqani network met the former president Karzai yesterday. It's quite a complicated process, which involves a variety of actors, you know, from religious leaders to politicians, and also some foreign countries as well. So that may take a bit of time. There's still a lot of focus over here, Brian, at the chaotic scenes at the airport, which have continued, and probably will do so as people feel that the window for escaping from getting away in draws to a close. So although the city itself is fairly calm, the airport continues to be in a very busy and chaotic place.
And what about who is getting on board those evacuation flights? Because we have reports the Taliban stopping Afghans, including those who have visas, from getting to the airport.
Yes, and that is the huge issue, that, you know, they are letting in foreigners, or people with foreign passports, but the people who have got Afghan passports, Afghan travel papers, are having a far harder time. Sometimes the passports are taken away, sometimes they're torn up, and sometimes people are being turned away arbitrarily. Now, having said that, yesterday I did meet some people who have got through Taliban checkpoints and turned up at a point where they are meeting troops from various countries, including the UK, for transportation to transportation abroad. But it really depends also, Brian, to an extent, on the checkpoint. Some of the Taliban checkpoints are okay, but others can be quite aggressive. And, you know, we've had people in the cases of people being beaten up, some being taken away, and also, you know, some being shot. So it's a very volatile situation, and you know, for people who are trying to get away, it's obviously, you know, incredibly difficult. And the big problem we are facing now is that not many people are getting through. So you keep on hearing about, you know, huge transport planes leaving with, you know, just 100 or a bit more. And we had the case of ridiculous case of a German A400M, which can take up to 160 people, leaving with 7. And these governments say that that's what they're forced to do because people simply aren't getting through to be processed and to be put on the aircraft.
And do we know, Kim, are there contacts between Western governments trying to get not just their own personnel out, but Afghans who've worked for them? Are there contacts, are there channels of communication open between their officials and the Taliban?
Well, I mean, not officially. I think more, we're seeing that more in the last few days when the government realized that, you know, they've got to deal with Taliban officials, and that is taking place. Although, as I said, at a quite local, unorganized level, you know, between troops and Taliban checkpoints, between some NGOs and Taliban officials. That, again, there's an issue here, Brian, because that a Taliban commander allowing people to go through Afghans does not necessarily mean the next one at the next checkpoint will agree to that. You know, the Taliban isn't exactly a unified central command. So, you know, there are all kinds of issues. You know, I've had Afghan friends who have been given authorization by the Taliban political leadership to go to the airport and then be turned away at a checkpoint. So it's chaotic, it's disorganized, and there's no certainty that people will get through.
And what, Kim, about protests against the government? We had reports out of Jalalabad yesterday of Taliban firing on people who are protesting against the erection of the Taliban flag in the city, and indications at this stage of the beginnings of a resistance to the Taliban regime. What can you tell us about that?
Well, this is very new, as you said. There was Jalalabad and Khosht were the two places where people objected to the white banner of Taliban being flown and wanted to parade the national flag, the Afghan flag. And the Talibs opened fire in Jalalabad, and I think three people were killed. Today is Afghanistan's Independence Day, independence from Britain, and very muted celebrations. And there was again a march in Assasabad where the Talibs opened fire, and reports that one person was killed, although that is not confirmed yet. The resistance itself, that the more, I suppose, military resistance, if it does arrive, will take place in the Panjshir Valley, the former stronghold of the Northern Alliance. Amrullah Saleh, who was the former vice president and also the former head of the NDS, the Afghan Intelligence Service, is said to be there. Ahmed Massoud, a young man who's the son of Ahmed Shah Massoud, the very renowned Mujahideen commander, anti-Taliban commander, and General Bismillah, the former defense minister, are said to have arrived there, and they're gathering forces. Now, whether this turns into a serious armed opposition or not, I think we need to wait to see.
And that was Kim Singh Gupta speaking to us from Kabul a little bit earlier before we came on air.